Well, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Many of us have heard the saying, your attitude toward the Word of God determines your spirituality. The Bible is not just another book. It's not just a good reference book with inspiring messages that we can use to enhance other writings and other works. It's not filled with warm platitudes just to give us a momentary thrill or just give us words of comfort. But for us, it is the will of God. And the words of God reveal His will. It needs no additives to make it special. And it is complete in itself for the believer to live and to walk with power. The Bible's not our little puzzle that we get to sit down and work out and figure out and do all these different things. It is the words of God revealing the will of God, His will for our lives, and His words to our lives. This book declares the will of God for us and to us, and when it is received as the will of God for our lives, then our lives may prosper from what we have learned from the Word of God as we apply it. When it is received as the will of God, it energizes effectually in our lives signs, miracles, and wonders. Dynamic Christian living is never based on anything else but the living Word of God living in the heart of a believing one. The power of God is energized by how we receive the Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh or is energized also in you that do what? Believe. The word receive is used twice in this. One means to receive objectively, and the other means to receive subjectively. To receive it objectively is to receive it and then do something, then begin to act. How do I apply this? How do I work this into my life? To receive it subjectively is, hey, that's great. I hope my neighbor heard that. The Thessalonian believers received the word that Paul was teaching, the word that Silvanus expounded upon, the scriptures, and that same word that Timothy was declaring. But they received it not as the word of men, although they were hearing Paul, although they were hearing Silvanus, although they were hearing Timothy, they took what they heard from those men, and they took it to their hearts as the words of God and therefore the will of God for their lives. That's how they received it. They received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, and it effectually works in them that believe. You know, humans tend to like perhaps one's presentation and sharing of the word over perhaps another one's receiving and, preaching and teaching of the word. That's just humanness. We ought to get ourselves to the place where when we hear the word of God, that we receive it as it is in truth, the word of God. And then it will effectually work in us that believe. We are believers. It's our attitude and how we're receiving it, I think, that causes us problems. If we are not getting answers to our prayers, if we are not seeing signs, miracles, and wonders, then it has to come back to how are we receiving the word. Are we getting lackadaisical in our own personal way of receiving it, or our own personal principles and habits that we have developed? And that's where we need to stop and check ourselves out, because the word of God works. And it works effectually and is energized in them that believe. And if we are not seeing that among the believing ones, then maybe we ought to consider, what is my attitude lately toward the word of God? You know, is it just something I pick up in the morning and I read it because I'm supposed to? Or I've done my religious duty for today or tomorrow or whatever. What is our attitude? Are we really accepting it as it is in truth, the word of God, that effectually worketh in them that believe? Certainly in those that don't believe, it's not going to work at all because they're skeptical of it. But I love the way the Thessalonians received the word and how they handled it. 2 + 2 = 4, no matter who says it. And we ought to have that mindset toward the word of God. Some people receive the preaching objectively and start doing something with it. Others receive it subjectively and think that it's great, but we're not ready to step out on it. So when we ask ourselves in our churches and in our fellowships, why do we see some of the believers, the beloved ones, prosper and lives blossom from the preaching of the word, and others doesn't? Why does that happen? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, let's go back to Hebrews, just a few books back. And there's this great record in Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith or believing in them that heard it." Did they hear it? Mm-hmm. Sure. When you go to the church, you go to a fellowship, everybody who's sitting there heard the same word. Then why is there a disparity between those that prosper with it and those that don't? It has to come back to our attitude, because we're all believers. That's why we're there, to listen. Mm-hmm. But it has to be in our desire to inculcate the great truths we are learning into our living and into our life's work, and perhaps changing some of the principles and changing some of the ways we are developing our lives. I was thinking about the prophet Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel 33, back in the Old Testament, because he had a similar situation with the children of Israel. And this is what God told him to speak to the children of Israel. In Ezekiel 33, let's go to verse 30. God says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." So, you know, sort of sounds like they were against Ezekiel when it starts, but no, they're really there. They're really talking, let's go, because Ezekiel is going to be sharing God's word, and let's go, and let's hear it. because we're going to hear the word that comes forth from the Lord. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. This is God telling Ezekiel what's going on. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouths they show much love, but their hearts goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Remember, God told Joshua that he was to take the word, and whithersoever he would go, he would prosper it if he observed to do. Wasn't just have it, but observe to do it. And then his life would prosper whithersoever he went. So if your life is not prospering whithersoever you went, or wherever you're going, then the thing, what we need to check out then is, am I observing to do? Very simple. I'm not endeavoring to be critical of anybody or anything. I'm just pointing out, this is what the scripture says. These are things that God tells us, because that's what happens to men and women. We get to the place where we're going through the motions, so to speak, but are we seeing the profit in our lives? That's what's key for us, or I don't like to use the word key so much, but it's important for our lives that we are seeing prosperity in it. Whether it's prospering in our marriages, whether it is prospering in our business financially, whether it is prospering in our community, or whether it's just prospering just as an individual, growing in the Word. Our attitude toward the Word determines our spirituality. So God knows that. So he's telling us, be aware of this, because people do get caught up with it. You know, you get to go into venues, and they have great music, and it's a wonderful thing to do on Sunday. It's safe. It's a good thing to bring my children to and all that stuff. But are you really prospering in the Word and prospering in the truth, where the Word is effectually working in them that believe? So, interesting. The thing is, how many of you ever hear a song and consider a way that I can live that? Drunk on a plane or something. We don't. That's the point. We really don't, unless it's get up and dance, and you get up and dance, you know, or something, boogie around the floor. Neither did they, but they wondered, where are the mighty works for our days? You know, Ezekiel was telling them about the mighty works, and they all, you know, they would get together, and he'd do a fellowship, and he'd read about the things Moses wrote and how the Red Sea was parted and all these different things. And they were all for it. Whoa, yeah, love that. And yes, that is great. But for some reason, they weren't seeing it in their day. And God is pointing out to Ezekiel, it's because their attitude has changed. They are enjoying it. It's not that they don't enjoy it. It's not that they don't love God. It's just that they have lost the way in which they received it. Like, it wasn't a message anymore that, whoa, I need to get on this and go do this. This is something I need to attend to today. I need to make some changes here. I need to do that. And they weren't receiving it that way. They were going there. Were they getting blessed? Sure. They loved it. But they weren't really seeing the great profit in their lives. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. It's another wonderful wonderful record because it reveals truth, but not a wonderful record in what took place. It says regarding Jesus, Matthew 13, verse 53, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And the result was, and they were what?
Offended
in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They stopped listening. That's the type of unbelief. They wouldn't stay with it. But isn't it interesting? I mean, they said, this is wise. This is great. These are mighty works. But then they defeated. How can that be? Because of their own thought. How can that be? They robbed themselves of that blessing. They said, this is wise. Even saw the powerful works, and they weren't blessed by the words he spoke. In fact, they were offended at it. They weren't blessed by the mighty acts that he did. They were offended at it. Their own unbelief kept them from the mighty miraculous works. The scriptures tell us that God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. It was them rejecting his kindness and rejecting and not being thankful for what he had to do. That's what kept them from receiving. It was their own rejection of it. It's not like God would not even do a miracle or a kindness to someone who's unthankful, or he wouldn't do it for someone who was evil. He's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. But the reason they don't see it is because they reject it. They become offended at it. Perhaps in who is presenting it. That's why we have to watch our attitude, because that attitude gets launched actually at the words, and they missed out on it. So here in his own community, they said, he's wise, he does these mighty works, but it's not for me. He didn't come from, you know, I mean, look at his mother and his father, his brother, his sisters, geez. So, I know it sounds insane. But it apparently that's what happens in people's minds. Well, we don't want to allow our minds or our hearts to get there where our attitude, our blasé-ness with the word and the will of God keeps us from our own deliverance and keeps us from our own healing. Now, God is saying this, and he puts this in here, not because he's mad at us, or it was mad at them. Because he's kind to the unthankful, and he's kind to the evil. He put it there so we could read it and know, wow, you know, people get that way. And I don't want to be one of those people. And if people get that way, and I don't want to be one of them, what do I need to do? And he sets it for him. In our churches, we find some people flourish at the teaching, and we also find find others who are impoverished spiritually. They hear the exact same teaching and preaching. So what's the answer? Well, let's go back a few chapters to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, we'll pick it up in verse 24. And Jesus is speaking. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. And here's the reason. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one as having authority, and not as the scribes. In life, the storms blow. Jesus didn't say, and it might rain, and you know, a storm could come by, but he built his house upon earth. No, it says, and the rains came. In both instances, regardless of how it was built, in both instances, rains come. That's a part of life. We have an adversary. They do come. The winds do blow. Situations in life do not always go, you know, floating along on a lily pad or something. They don't. And as I've taught you and shared with you many times, the evil spirit realm attacks. They do not attack us because we are evil. They attack because they are evil. In this parable and this sharing and this illustration that he gets, he never indicates that either one of the men who built their house, anything was wrong with them. Or that they were lousy people, or lousy. The problem was they were both builders, but one was not good in choosing the site and how he built. But it's not a condemnation of the men; it's a condemnation of what they've built. Because our adversary attacks us not because we are darkness, but because he is darkness. He doesn't attack you because you're a sinner. He attacks you because they are unrepentant sinners. They rebelled against God and have never repented from it. They think God is absolutely wrong, even to this day, and they will not give that up. And therefore, they attack you because you love God. They attack you because you love his word. They attack you because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And they attack you because you want to be a smart builder. But we need to get the building completed so that when the rains come and when the wind blows, it stands. What we have built and what we have built in our lives. We used to have a saying that we talked about. We want to logically build or systematically build the Word of God in our lives. Why? Because the rains come, the winds blow. But the one that built his house upon the rock, it fell not. It beats upon it, but it fell what? We do have those situations in life. Sickness and those things will attack because we have an adversary who is the source of them. Why? Because he is evil, because he is darkness, because he is a sinner, not because you are. Now, if we sin, we need to confess our sin and we need to stop sinning. You know, if we've done something evil, we need to stop doing evil. You know, if we're doing things that are darkness, we need to stop doing things that are darkness, and we are quite capable of doing those things. But he will never stop our adversary because he thinks he is right. He thinks you're the enemy and you should be attacked. So how do I stand under these things, and how do I prosper, and how do I continue to be strong is to check your attitude in how you're receiving the word. Any builder who doesn't go back and look at the blueprints is going to be in great trouble. And any builder that doesn't trust the blueprint is going to fall into great trouble. We should watch how we're building. That's the encouragement I wanted to give you today. Watch how you're building. Take a step back. What's my attitude toward the scriptures? See, I'll catch it later. Maybe I'll get some time here. You can't. You can do that with the novel that you're reading. You can do that with a movie you're watching. Put it on pause. You can do that with a lot of other things in life, but we cannot do it with the Word of God. We can do it with work. Call off for a day. But we can't do it with the Word of God. Number one, it is the only thing that will bring us to a life which is more than abundant. It is the only thing that will lead us into signs, miracles, and wonders in our life, especially when the rains come, especially when the storm beats upon it, winds blow and beat upon it, our lives. It is then when we want to and need to see signs, miracles, and wonders, we need to have a clear vision so that we have it. Or helping someone else through their sickness, through their disease, through their poverties in categories of life. See, how do you intend to build your life? How's it going to stand? And by the way, God is loving and kind even to us. And he will help us rebuild when we've made mistakes, when we've not followed the blueprint exactly, and help us rebuild it correctly and get it all back on. So, you know, he never gives up on you. So don't you give up on the scriptures. Don't give up on the word. What is the value of your house? That will help you. Because, excuse me, what is the value of God's word to you? Let's go to, I gotta clear my voice here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. I want to show you what value Jesus Christ put on the Word of God. And this is in the temptation of our Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Jesus wasn't taken there by the Spirit of God so that he could be tempted of the devil. The devil knew he was where he was going, and the devil arrived. I don't want, you know, because God tempteth no man. And he certainly didn't tempt the Son of Man. So you have to understand the scriptures in light of context. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights he was afterward and hungered. I'm kind of that way after 40 minutes. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou... Oops, turn two pages at once. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights and being in hungered, what would you say is Jesus' most and greatest point of need?
Food.
Most people would say that and agree. Food. That's his most important point of need. But I want you to look at his response in the next verse. Next verse. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What do you say his greatest need was at that point? And now, Jesus answered this temptation not as the Son of God, but as man shall not live by bread alone. He answered this question for all mankind, so that all mankind would know what is the greatest point of need for humans. You know, we talk about the greatest need for people. They must have food, shelter, and clothing. That's man's... God says the most important thing. You can get along naked. You can get along without food. And you can get along even without shelter. The most important thing, and Jesus puts this for all of mankind, no one is exempt. Sort of helps us, doesn't it? Does that mean me? Yes, even you, Larry. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus' need for food was very real. The pangs in his stomach, I'm sure, were very intense after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, he had hungered. But without the word of God, what's a meal? Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it how?
More abundantly.
Not just survival. Man would go for bread for survival. But if we want a life which is more than abundant, then we ought to go the way that Jesus Christ went. He went for the word. The Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. If Jesus Christ thought we need every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God was more important than ending hunger, what value did he place upon the word of God? And you could tell where our politicians place the value. What's the first thing they want to do? End world hunger. Well, then he ought to turn us ministers and us children of God loose all over the world and give us every freedom we could possibly have. We'd end hunger like that. Because we know the word. We know what's most important. Job said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Isn't that beautiful? Well, I'd like to close with Proverbs today. And again, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just trying to say it. God's warning to us because it happens. So that we're wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, put that in there for you, David Shiel. He just sent me a thing he was working on. Really blessed me. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll read it from verse 20. My son, or daughter, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine heart, from thine eyes, rather. keep them in the midst of thine heart. We hear it so often in manifestations, look neither to the left hand nor to the right, but look straight on unto me. Not at the symptoms, not even at facts, but our eyes should be upon the truth. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Let us be wise. Join me in being wise builders. And let's build our houses upon the safe ground, the Word of God, the rock, and receive the Word as it is in truth, the Word of God that will effectually work in us because we believe. Bless your hearts.